exalted among the nations, I will be exalted in the earth. Let me repeat that. Listen to what. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Now, why is God telling us to be still? Because quite honestly, if we are squirming around, we're not going to hear Him. Do you hear me? We're not going to hear Him when we're squirming around. Now, I don't mean necessarily in the pew, though that could be part of it. I mean in life. I knew a young person years ago who was a Christian, had been a Christian from their childhood years, but they entered a time in their adolescent years when they sort of moved away a little bit from God. Now, they wasn't getting anything really bad, but they were headed that direction. And I got to talking to them. And I realized as I was around them more and paying attention to what they were doing, they always were filling their life with the noise of the world. They had iPhones in, or whatever it was back then, listening to music. Or they had a CD player going. Or they were talking on the phone, or they were doing this. They would never stop. And when I confronted them about it, I said, you're not stopping because you're afraid of what God's going to tell you. We need to be still, or we're not going to hear from God. You got to be still and pay attention, or you're going to miss it. And trust me, you don't want to miss what God has got for you. Now, how many of you remember a prophet of the Old Testament named Elijah? Elijah was a mighty prophet of God. You may recall Elijah going against the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. Elijah by himself and the hundreds of the prophets of Baal, and the thing about the, you know, cut up the bullock and put everything on the altar and see if you can call down fire. Of course, Baal couldn't bring down fire. God brought down fire, burned up the offering, burned up the stones, and burned up the water in the trough or in the ditch around it. So Elijah had just done that. But then Jezebel sends word. That's the queen, the king's wife. She sent word to Elijah, basically, buddy, I'm going to do the same thing to you that you just did to the prophets of Baal. She was out to get Elijah. And he ran. He was scared for his life. As a matter of fact, Elijah said, it'd be better if I had never been born because nobody else is standing with me. And so God sent an angel to refresh Elijah. And Elijah went up to this mountain, to the mountain of God, and hid in a cave. And the next verse of Scripture comes from 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 through 12. God tells Elijah, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in. Can you imagine that? Wind is busting up rocks. Tore up the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. Now, Elijah's standing up here and the mountain's falling to pieces, buddy. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And look, and after the fire, a still small voice. That's where the Lord was. If you don't hear anything else today, hear this. God can shout. He can. He has. How much better will it be if we listen to the still small voice? Don't make him shout. Don't make him shout. So we're getting ready to come to church this morning. You're going to laugh, but I turned the television on for the dogs to give them something to listen to. And It was set to one of those older retro chant stations. I don't even know what station it was. But guess what show was on this morning? Lassie. So I'm like, that'll be good. You guys can learn something from Lassie. And of course, while I was waiting on Kathy to get ready, I was in there and I got to watching part of Lassie. And I knew because I had read before. Lassie was trained without verbal commands. And so I knew that. And I was watching the show. And I picked up Lassie was watching the trainer off camera. Because, you know, in the scenes, they'd be talking to Lassie. But you'd see she wasn't looking directly at whoever was talking. She's looking to the side because she was looking to her trainer for the commands. We need to focus on God. Don't worry about the noise and the confusion going, because there's going to be plenty of it. Plenty of it. And it's going to get worse. I wish I could tell you it's going to get better, but it's going to get worse. We need to focus on Him. Listen for that still small voice. So three things this morning. First and foremost, God says, be still. Now, I don't know how many times I told Diane growing up, be still. Be still. We were in band camp my senior year, Kimberly. I was a drum major, and I called the band to attention, and you better not move. When you're at attention, you better be rock solid. Except this one dude. It's like he always had ants in his pants or something. He would not be still. And I'd get onto his case, you know, he'd have to run laps, all kinds of stuff, but he would not be still. And finally, one day, we'd give him a break, and they were sitting up under the shade there at the senior building. And this guy was a friend of my brother's, probably best friend of my brother's. And they were sitting together. They both played trumpet. So I walked up to him, and I said, and I was serious. I said, Kim, I have got $5 in my pocket. I will give it to you if you can be still, not move for 1 minute by my watch. He couldn't do it. He could not do it. He could not be still. We need to be still. Now, and whatever it takes for you to do that, you need to do it. You need to get away. If there's something distracting in life that is keeping you from hearing the Word of God, you need to get rid of it or get away from it. I am not being overly dramatic. I am serious. If there is somebody or something in your life, whether it's a hobby, whether it's a sport, whether it's whatever it is, or somebody that drags you away where you're not listening for God, you're not in a fellowship or relationship with Him you need to be, you need to sever those ties. You need to unplug it, put it away, or you need to get yourself away. Whether it's in a closet or wherever, you need to be still. Because you need to hear what God has for you. Now, when I say be still, I'm not just talking about physically. Because we actually can be doing something physically and still be calm and be still. I'm talking about being still in mind and heart. Now, you guys pretty much are still physically here. You're not moving around. You're not squirming in body. But you may be squirming like crazy in mind. You may be thinking about what I got to do next week, what I got to do at work, what I got to do this afternoon. Anything and everything you can be thinking about. And why is that the case? Because you don't want to hear what God has for you today. You see, you're not here by accident. You're here for a purpose. And God has something He wants you to hear. And the devil is trying to throw all kinds of things up in your face to distract you from hearing what God has to say. God says, be still. When Jesus was in the boat, and I love that story Holly read this morning. When Jesus was in the boat, it was storming. Now, I don't know if you've ever been on a small boat in a lake on a storm, but it is scary. Jesus got up and said three words. Peace, be still. And the wind and the waves obeyed. The problem is we don't obey. God says, be still. We need to comply and be still. Not just physically, but mentally. In our heart, in our emotions, in our spiritual life. We need to be still. God, what do you want me to do? What do you have for me today? One of the problems in our world today, especially in our culture, is we don't leave any margin in our lives. We got all these devices to save us time, and then we fill up that free time with something else. And that something else is not God. Now, whatever we fill our time up with may not be bad in and of itself. But again, like I said at the very beginning, if whatever it is taking us away from our time with God, then we need to modify that. We need to modify that. You know, some people say, well, you know, you gotta exercise. Well, yeah, you should exercise. But if exercise is keeping you from spending time with God, then you need to modify your exercise plan. That's just one example. Job. Thank God you got a job. But if your job is taking you away from God, then you need to modify something. You got too many hours or something going on. You got a relationship, the person pulling you away from God, then you better examine that relationship. If we're not leaving margin in our life, then I'm going to guarantee you Satan's going to send something in your life to eat up what little margin you do have. And then what's the first thing that we give up? Time with God. I don't have time to read my Bible. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to come to church. I don't have time to serve God. God can make it where you will. Do you want Him to do that? We need to leave margin in our life. Not fill up every spare moment. We need to let God direct our lives, not try to fill our lives up with everything we think we ought to be doing. Let me ask you, how can you hear God if you're listening to somebody else? How can you hear a still small voice if you're listening to somebody else? Lassie was on the set. There probably was all kinds of cameras and lights going on, all kinds of noise going on. How in the world did that dog focus? Because she only cared about what one person was saying. And that was her trainer. She didn't care what everybody else was doing. She was focused on the trainer no matter what. There was even one scene where a black bear was in the scene. But she was still focused. You could tell she was focused on the trainer. What about you? No matter what goes on around you, are you focused on God? Do you hear His voice? Do you even know what He sounds like? Be still. But that's only part of the command. Secondly, He says to know. Be still and know. Know what? Know that there is a God and that He loves you. Scripture says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And boy, the world is full of fools today. Because there is a God. And He loves you. And He's given Himself for you. And He is speaking to you. You need to listen. You need to know that He's there. That He responds. That He has a plan for you. A future for you. A hope. That He is there and that He will work in your life. If you will allow Him to do so. You need to know that you are in need of a Savior. If you compare yourself to other individuals, you might say, well, I'm better than old so-and-so. Well, maybe you are. But that's not going to get you to heaven. You could be the best person ever born in the earth. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, it's not going to be good enough to get you to heaven. That's what God wants you to know first and foremost, that you cannot get yourself to heaven. You cannot do enough good things to get to heaven. It's not about amassing good deeds. It's about knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you don't know Him, you will not be there. You need to know that. Not just here, but here. You need to know Him. Have you ever thought about how in the world can we understand the God of the universe? Well, the short answer is you can't understand him, but you can know him enough because he has revealed himself in here if we will pay attention. We need to know who Jesus is and what he's done for you. Scripture tells us in Romans chapter 1 that creation gives us enough information such that we are without excuse. However, creation does not give you the full revelation. From creation, you cannot know about a Savior. You can know about a Creator God. You can know about enough about God to know that you're without excuse, but you don't know the full story. The full revelation of God is revealed in Jesus Christ, the living Word of God. Who is Jesus? What has he done for you? Do you know that? Do you really know that? Or are you just repeating what you've heard? I know who the President of the United States is. I know who the Governor of Alabama is. But I guarantee you I cannot get in to see either one of them because I don't know them. But I can get in to see the King of the universe. Amen? Because I know him. I don't just know about him, I know him. Not because I'm good, because he is. And because when I was 9 years old, I made a decision to know him personally. And I've never been sorry that I did. As a matter of fact, I heard Billy Graham make a comment one time that he knows of no individual ever in the history of mankind that on their deathbed they were sorry that they ever gave their life to Christ. Don't happen. Doesn't happen. But there are lots of individuals who on their deathbed are sorry they didn't give their life to Christ. I guarantee you. Do you know why you're here? And I don't mean just in this room. Do you know why you're here? Why are you still alive? God has a plan for you. Do you want to know what it is and follow it, or are you just going and doing your own thing? Does God care where you go to school? Sure he does. Does he care what kind of job you have? Yeah. Does he care about your daily life? Yes, he cares. And he will be just as involved as you will let him be. Are you listening for the still small voice, or are you waiting for him to shout? Now, I've never lived through an earthquake. Don't want to. Don't want to. But you start having some tremors, I think I'd put my house up for sale and get out. I don't want to be there for the big one. If I lived on the beach, all it would take is the Weather Service saying hurricane's coming. I'd be boarded up and headed out. Don't wait for the storm. Make your decision beforehand. Let me ask you, do you know where you are headed? I don't mean where you're going after we get out of church today. I mean, where are you headed in life? If you don't make a change today, if you don't change your direction in life today, where are you going to be 5 years from now? Now, I know we don't know the future, but you can get a pretty good idea. Where are you going to be? What's your life going to look like? If you don't listen for the still small voice of God today, where are you going to be next year? Where are you headed? Thirdly, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the earth. God needs to be exalted in our life by the words of our mouths. Do the words we speak exalt God? Or if we knew he heard, would we be ashamed? Because he does hear. As a matter of fact, you know what Scripture says? It says we're going to be held accountable for every idle word spoken. Now, how many, don't raise your hand, but how many of us speak idle words? Man, there's a lot of idle words spoken today. And God says, you're going to give account. Nothing has been said that's not going to be repeated. Are we proud of what we say? Or are we ashamed of what we've said? Now, I don't mean just to God. I mean to other people as well. Because remember, he said, what you've done to the least of these, my brethren, you've done to me. You've done to me. Do the words of my mouth exalt God? Or do they bring an embarrassment to God's church? You guys have heard me say before, and I'm serious, if you're gonna not live, not speak, not act like a Christian, don't put a fish on your car and don't wear a t-shirt like it, because I don't want to be associated with that. And more importantly, I don't want Jesus' name to be associated with that, because the actions of our lives also exalt God, or else detract from God. I know you have heard individuals make a comment, something to the effect of, you know, you ask them to go to church because you know maybe they don't go to church anywhere, and they're going to say something to the effect of, well, I know so-and-so that goes to that church and they're a hypocrite. Or I know so-and-so doing this or so-and-so doing that. And I'm not saying they're lying, they're probably telling the truth. But the point is, what they're doing don't affect my destiny. What I do affects my destiny. But be careful. People look. People see. And not only the words of your mouth, but the actions of your life testifies to whether you know Jesus Christ as Lord or not. To say that I know Jesus and live like I don't says that I don't know Him, because words are cheap. I will be exalted in the earth. Is Jesus Christ exalted in your life? Do you speak with love? Do you act with love? Do people hear Jesus when they hear you? Do people see Jesus when they see you? When you meet somebody new, how long does it take them to know that you know Jesus? Or do they ever know that? Exalt God in our worship, in our service, in our prayer life, in our willingness to disciple others, in our desire to be discipled, in our evangelism. As a matter of fact, we are to exalt God in everything we do in all of life. If you are trying to separate God into small sections of your life, then He is not the Lord of your life. Amen. If you're trying to keep Him in a box for Sunday morning or maybe Wednesday night, then He is not the Lord of your life. He's not. Be still. Don't let the world mold you into its way of thinking. Don't be conformed to this world, God says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But that's not going to happen if you're not still and listening. And then he says, no. No, there is a God, yes. But do you realize that doesn't get you any higher than Satan, right? Because Satan knows there is a God. The rocks know there is a God. But do you know God? Be still and know God. Learn of God. Be with God. Walk with God. And then let everything you do, the words of your mouth and the actions of your life, exalt God. And that only happens when we know Him and when we surrender to His Spirit and allow His Spirit to work in us and through us. Here's your compass point. Satan's got a plan. He wants to fill your life with noise. I don't care what. Anything. He doesn't care what. And it may not be bad noise. Now listen to me. It may not be bad noise. It may be a good, quote unquote, good thing. But if it gets between you and God, then it becomes a bad thing. Because we can make idols of all kinds of things. Satan wants to fill your life with noise. God wants to fill your life with real life and life more abundantly. So you got a choice today. Whether you're going to be still and listen to God, know Him and exalt Him, or whether you're going to just continue on in the noise, the den of confusion that the world finds itself in. You're going to make a choice before you leave here today. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the earth. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the examples you've given us of individuals who stopped and listened. Thank you also for the examples we see of individuals who failed to stop and did not listen. Lord, help us not to be like those that fail to heed and go on and are punished. But Father, help us to hear, to heed, and to turn to you. God, help us to stop squirming, to be still, and listen for your heartbeat, for your still small voice, to feel the love, Lord, the future that you have for us, if we will only hear, and if we will only obey. Lord, this is your time. We are your people. May we respond in obedience to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.